Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFARL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFARL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me today.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for inviting.
All right. Good to have you again. Now, coming up this week on Wednesday is Russian President Vladimir Putin's annual call-in show, The Direct Line. Well, I think it was annual until last year when it was not held due to the coronavirus pandemic. In any case, like Putin's annual news conference, it's one of the kind of several set-piece events that he uses to try to burnish his image and send signals both to Russians and to foreign governments, I think particularly in the West. Now, this time, there's a lot going on. Russia's in the midst of a major and ongoing state crackdown on civil society, as well as a new wave of COVID-19 infections and deaths, driven in part by the government's lack of success in getting people vaccinated. I mean, I think it's safe to say that this time last year, Putin probably believed and hoped that this would be over by now. And also, it's election season, with elections to the State Duma, the lower parliament house, less than 3 months away in September. Irina, what do you think Putin's question and answer session will look like this year? What are the issues that may be most prominent?
Well, Steve, the hotline for where you can put a question or send a question via video, audio, or text is already open. And on Friday, there was over 500,000 questions to the Russian president already. Mm-hmm. The majority, as the volunteers say, volunteers working in this call center, as they say, the majority of the questions are regarding three particular issues. The first is the coronavirus outbreak. The second is the state of the healthcare system in the country. And the third is a lot of new construction that started before the coronavirus infection has been frozen. People actually paid for their apartments or somehow invested and cannot get it. This is quite a widespread problem in Russia. So there's the third set of major set of questions that people are asking right now. I think that Putin will try to use the opportunity to call for vaccination, even though it's extremely unpopular topic in Russia. The measures that were taken by local authorities to somehow to try to control the spread of COVID-19 are extremely unpopular. Mm-hmm. There is a massive outrage of the fact that, for example, in Moscow, the new system of QR codes were imposed. If you want to get to the restaurant, you have to present a code showing that you have been vaccinated or that you have a negative test or that you had coronavirus infection recently. But this simple measure that we in Europe lived with for quite a time after the last outbreak, this is extremely unpopular in Moscow. I'm monitoring the groups that are kind of criticizing, for example, Moscow mayor, Mr. Sobyanin. Mm-hmm. And right now, those groups are full of absolutely hysterical posts against the new system. The most serious problem in Russia right now is that people just refuse to believe that this virus is serious. They refuse to believe that vaccine and the only choice are the three Russian vaccines that people have, no Pfizer, no Moderna. So they don't trust that vaccines do anything good for them. There is a conspiracy theory that all this was created to make the pharmaceutical companies richer. There are lots of conspiracy theories about this. But the problem is that with the previous waves, the same situation in Russia right now. Each day brings about more and more infected people. Yesterday, there were 20,000 new cases in Russia. Today, it's 21,000 new cases in Russia. So this new wave starts to grow very, very quickly, and the deaths are delayed. But also, I'm monitoring the Moscow emergency headquarters Telegram channel that was created with the start of coronavirus pandemics. They give more or less full statistics on, for example, people that are now currently on artificial lung. And we know that those probably are the people who will have difficulties to, get out of to recover from the virus. So once again, yesterday there was 672 or 673 people on artificial lung. Today is 730. So 60 more people in 24 hours. This is appalling situation. This is just very, very dangerous for the society. So people, I think that Putin will try to use this opportunity to explain what Russia is facing at the moment. One thing that we saw already is there was a report written by the business ombudsman to Mr. Putin, and it leaked to Rosbusiness Consulting Media group and was published. And I think this is a preparation for Putin's direct line, because what the business ombudsman is suggesting right now is to support small and medium-sized business that suffered the most from the pandemics.
Right.
And what he suggests is, for example, measures like the state paying for the tests on coronavirus, the state paying for the masks for sanitation, so the state taking over some responsibilities that are now the responsibility of the business itself. So I think that this is one of the ways how Putin will try to gain support of business. And by the way, this is very helpful before the elections, of course, if the state would give at least some relief to the people.
Yeah, and I think, that's very interesting. I think one thing people have been accusing Putin and the Kremlin of, last year and this year during the pandemic has been kind of trying to slough it off on others, both the private sector and the regional governments in Russia. So I think this may be, possibly it's a time when Putin will figure he needs to take more responsibility, that might work. He may feel that would work for him ahead of the elections. Quite interesting. I think the way that the government has approached, Putin, when he got the vaccine, or when the Kremlin said he got the vaccine, and they didn't say, which one, they said it was one of the Russian ones. And he said, I think that, you know, there would be no mandatory vaccinations. And now it is mandatory in some cases. So, you know, I imagine the Kremlin's still kind of adjusting what it's thinking. And it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Also, in terms of with this big problem, which is quite, you know, quite sort of apparent, you know, is he going to kind of go off on the West as he often does, or will he try to take a more, you know, more show that he's caring more about you know, the Russian people? It'd be interesting to see the balance of that in this direct line. Okay, well, I mentioned the crackdown on civil society and also on Kremlin opponents and many people and groups that Putin seems to perceive as enemies, even though they contend that they're working for the good of Russia. And that's another thing, obviously, that's continuing to happen ahead of these elections and during this coronavirus wave. Irina, do you think that this clampdown, this pressure will ease at all before the elections, which are now set for, I believe, it's 3 days of September 17th to 19th?
There is nothing that would indicate that the crackdown will ease because the whole set of new laws, restrictive laws, were adopted in Russia, and once they're adopted, they need to use them somehow. But I think that one aspect of this crackdown probably will go away, because right now what we see is all the independent candidates that do not belong to the official opposition parties are being arrested, harassed, or somehow taken off the ballot. At the moment, there are 11, at least I counted 11 independent candidates that were somehow denied the right to put their name on the ballot.
Right.
And all of them are either detained or were forced to leave the country through criminal cases that are actually not even related to the new laws that restrict civil and political rights and liberties.
Right.
All of them have like criminal cases according to which they cannot participate in the elections. And this is an interesting phenomenon that you know, they for example open criminal charges for people who participated in the protests, but not because they were like going against the government or against Putin or for Navalny, but because they broke the regulations, the sanitary regulations in time of epidemic.
Right.
Like, for example, Lyubov Sobol, the lawyer of Navalny's foundation for against corruption, mm-hmm. Is under house arrest exactly because of the sanitary norms. So this probably will go away after they get rid of all the candidates and independent candidates. And when I'm saying that they're independent candidates, yes, of course, majority of them are Navalny's followers or his closest associates. But also, for example, in Khabarovsk, there is an independent candidate by the name Alexei Vorsin, who is now under house arrest for, once again, criminal charges. But he officially named himself a candidate against United Russia party. So he doesn't belong to any party at all. He's just against the ruling party. And he was put under house arrest as well. So they do monitor such people in the regions if they kind of appear. They use the restrictive system against them, and it's not only Moscow or Saint Petersburg phenomenon. And of course, it's you know, people are laughing about it. People are laughing about the fact that they used the sanitary regulations to put Lyubov Sobol under house arrest. While, for example, this weekend in Saint Petersburg, there was a massive party of graduates from the school, which is called Red Sail, which was which gathered thousands and thousands of people, you know, and nobody took any precautions in spite of the fact that St. Petersburg is the second worst hit city in Russia after Moscow.
Yeah, it's absolutely kind of, it's just very, very striking the way the and that's a state-sanctioned, state-sponsored event, I believe. So, you know, it's striking the way these things clash with, as you say, the use of the COVID-19 restrictions to bar people like Lyubov Sobol from the elections. And then, you know, also interesting, as you point out, that while there's a raft of laws restricting political freedoms, pluralism, there is also, you know, they're using mainly criminal laws, which, of course, the politicians who want to run in elections are saying are being applied, you know, with no grounds whatsoever, you know, to get these people off or not off the ballot, but to prevent them from getting on the ballots for these elections coming up in September. All right, we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Irina, thanks again for joining me.
Well, thanks for inviting, Steve.
Okay, thank you. We'll be taking a break next week, but this podcast will be back on July 12th. And my Week in Russia newsletter should be out this Friday as usual. Thanks for listening.